Early on, VDI was promoted with the statement, "VDI will provide huge benefits for your IT environment." Is this statement still valid? That's a great question. VDI has matured and many companies have tried or implemented this technology. For those that have tried but not implemented, why did they hold back? For those that have implemented, are they seeing the benefits? Here today we have Jim Moreo and Lisa Stone with Cornerstone IT, Jay Abernathy with MindShift, and myself, Kevin Sveck, with Sanders and Parks in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to discuss the previous statement. VDI will provide huge benefits for your IT environment, and break down those benefits to see if, in fact, VDI still makes sense for your environment.
Like many of us, we've all heard in the past that, you know, VDI is the way to go. We're going to save some money that way, or you're going to save time, or there's a whole bunch of different savings that are going to be in there. So when we think about the strong points of VDI, who feels they can speak to, like, what are the best strong points to VDI?
Hi, this is Lisa, and I think that the performance and features available in today's VDI world far outweigh any of the cost restrictions in terms of the benefit that they could provide, not only to the user population, but to the IT department that manages the desktops and the user endpoint devices. So I'll give you a perfect example of that, which is about a year ago we had a vulnerability with Flash that the security department of one of our clients called us about, and it took me about 5 minutes to update it on their VDI desktop and push it out to 750 users, but it took the in-house people several days to be able to push that vulnerability out to the rest of the firm. So if we look at performance features, scalability, how quickly we could push out a change, and in this case, the security vulnerability, nothing's faster. Nothing is as fast and as good and as consistently, what's the word I want, Jim?
Reliable.
Reliable. Thank you. Thank you. So that to me is invaluable. And then you have a small firm of 100 users, let's say, or 50 users, and they don't have an IT person. And if you're a New York City law firm, that IT person could cost you a six-digit salary, and that is something that your firm can't afford. What is the solution that would best suit a firm in that position? And we find that a VDI desktop is sometimes more cost-effective. You need less people to manage 100 PCs, and you have one image that you can have a contractor like myself take care of for you and do maintenance for you on it, or you can just train somebody in-house to do it. And that one of our clients that was about 80 users actually got rid of two employees after they went VDI because they didn't need that type of support and outsourced it. So that's another advantage. Performance in a VDI desktop, in my opinion, is as good as the hardware you put it on. So if you build it well, you build it right, you spec it out to the desktop you're building for, you could have incredible performance. We build VDI desktops all the time that outperform the physical desktops we're replacing. So, but there's also use case scenarios where we get calls from clients that they had a VDI desktop built for them and it doesn't perform. So, you know, the hardware it sits on is super important. Understanding storage, understanding the IOPS, which we've had lots of conversations about IOPS in the VDI circles in the past. We could talk about that this whole broadcast, which I won't get too far into, but that's also key. So talk to multiple people. Don't just ask your Dell vendor. Don't just ask your HP, your storage vendor. Talk to multiple people and talk to people who live in the VDI sector.
That's excellent. Jay, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, thanks. And I totally agree that there are a lot of positives with VDI. But the first thing I wanted to just state out there is VDI in 2015 is very different than when we were first implementing and looking at this technology in, you know, 2006, 2007, for instance. There's literally been a revolution in the storage and virtualization industry that have led to a lot of great innovation in terms of storage, in terms of video acceleration, in terms of convergent devices. So there are more vendors and there's more competition in the space, which has increased performance across the board in terms of VDI and what options we have with it, while keeping that same cost about the same. So the VDI solutions that you get today are much better and deliver a much better user experience than what we had, you know, way back when VDI was first being done, including, you know, everything that Lisa said about the positives. I will say that it provides some things that you just don't get with a physical desktop experience. You have the flexibility, basically the ability to react with changes that are happening in your firm. Lisa mentioned being able to quickly update your workstations to patch up a vulnerability in your system. That's a benefit. But there's also benefits with implementing new training rooms, development workstation rooms, war rooms to develop and design systems quickly for vendor access and other things that your firm may encounter. So I think that there's a lot of flexibility that can be driven. And we're all going to be eventually facing a Windows 10 upgrade in the near future. And VDI is a good complement for that because it makes it easy to introduce new desktops and new applications into the world without a huge disruption in the IT. It also offers a very seamless experience going from in the office and out of the office as well, where a user can use the same system and not having to worry about synchronizing data and application across two disparate systems, which many of us are living with today. So I do think that there are a number of additional positives with VDI in general.
This is Jim Morio. Yeah, to just add to what Jay just said, yeah, you do have one of the big additional benefits is you have one system that the users are accessing, whether they're in the office or outside of the office, or for that matter, in a disaster recovery. So I'll talk to the cost a little bit later, but instead of having to implement an internal desktop and then a remote access on top of that and a DR system, you've got one system that covers them all. And to add to that, you know, you do have those remote users with a variety of endpoints, whether it's a Chromebook or an iPad or a Mac or a smartphone, and VDI lends itself well to those different endpoints. So agreeing with both what Lisa and Jay said, there's plenty of benefits to VDI.
Right.
Yeah, and this is Lisa again. I wanted to make another comment. When I talk to our clients and attorneys, because I talk to attorneys and these are the people actually using the product. When I talk to them, I always give them a really good example of the benefit of VDI, which is you're in the office, you're in the middle of a document for a client, you get a phone call, it's the wife, the husband, your kid, you have to get up and you have to leave the office, and you have to pick them up from soccer, they're stranded at school, something happened. You can get up, leave your desk exactly the way, you know, just pick up your handbag, run out the door, pick up your kid, go home, go online, log into your VDI desktop, and you're looking at the document that you were just where you left off. So that alone is a use case that adds tremendous value. I'm not tied to a physical location anymore. I can be in the train on the way to pick up my child, and I could pick up that desktop, and I could continue finishing the document for a client. The value to that is unbelievable in terms of how we slice work and life. You know, somebody asked me to write an article on that recently about what cloud and VDI technology, how it impacts the legal profession, and how it not just the legal profession, but how it impacts, you know, anybody who works the way that we work, in that we're mostly 24/7. Legal professionals are 24/7. Just because it's Saturday, it doesn't mean they're not going to work. So life and work are no longer tied to a physical location where I have my documents, my computer, my document management system. I can be mobile. I can be in the train. I can bill time while I'm on the train. I do it frequently myself. I could be on the train going home. Maybe you live in Westchester, it's an hour train ride. You're working on documents for a client, you're billing time. It's fantastic.
There you go. So I've heard everybody talk about all the performance and features, and really a lot of the things tied into the next topic we were going to hit, which is mobility and remote access, and you've already touched on all of those, and I think you're making a great point in regards to how easy it is just to take it with you wherever you are. If you have an internet connection, you can connect back up to your VDI desktop. One of the things that really comes up to everyone comes down to security. So you mentioned some security issues there, but when we think about secure remote access, I mean, isn't there a lot of money involved with setting up that secure access to get that, you know, a solid pipe in between that nobody can break into?
Well, I don't think so. This is Lisa Stone again. I think that there are certain things you have to do on your network anyway. So throwing a NetScaler in between me and my VDI desktops is a no-brainer. No, there's a cost to it, but it isn't that expensive because the lowest level NetScaler is not going to cost that much money. And then once I do that, I have the ability to say to my clients, all of your content is inside my firewall. You configure VDI even to prevent people from copying and pasting from the VDI desktop to the physical desktop. So when you have, you know, a big bank breathing down your neck, sending you those big security questionnaires, you can say to them, yes, your stuff is in my firewall. Your documents are there. Even though people are on Citrix, they can't write to USB drives. They can't take your document and put it on their physical hard drive, and they can't even copy-paste. So that in itself is not, in my opinion, expensive. It requires one device added to the VDI infrastructure. And I think that that's an easy thing to add to a VDI deployment, a single NetScaler or a pair.
Jay, how about you?
Right. The endpoint definitely does need to, you know, secure the end-to-end connection to your virtual desktop. You know, and I think, you know, changes in authentication methods, multi-factor authentication is important, of course, to secure that. And that's important no matter whatever remote access solution you're using, whether it's traditional server-based computing through Citrix or terminal server, whether it's VPN. VDI is sort of, you know, it will fall into that same makeup. I will caution, you know, the people out there that implementing VDI is not a substitute for implementing strong security policies. So it's very important that whatever you would do with a traditional physical endpoint from a security perspective, you still need to do with the virtual desktop. So you'll still need antivirus agents. You should still invest in application whitelisting policies, sandboxing, following a, you know, least privilege model, role privilege software. VDI does not substitute it, and I don't recommend implementing VDI strictly for security, because you can achieve a lot of those security controls with a physical desktop. Some people say that because, you know, with VDI, you have the option of a non-persistent desktop, essentially a desktop that resets every time you reboot. I think that's a great thing. However, you can achieve the same thing in a physical desktop through software. But even if you have a non-persistent with VDI, you know, you have to look at how long that non-persistent desktop actually stays active. So if that non-persistent desktop is exploited, or is vulnerable to, say, a flash, you know, URL web exploit with a reverse handler that is infecting the system, that's actually still going to be just as dangerous because it stays on. Now, it might go away with a reboot, but it will still be active. So it is no way a replacement for typical security precautions. So that's just one of my caveats for implementing VDI. You still have to secure the endpoint devices.
So just because it's virtual doesn't mean it's better than a physical desktop.
Right.
Okay. So
and it does. I'll add to that. It does have its benefits, but like Jay says, it's not a replacement for security. It does have inherent security to it, but definitely not a replacement.
Okay. Management. We've talked about that a bit, and I think Lisa mentioned it really well. And it's the same situation for my firm where we have just two of us handling our 70 people, and management of our virtual desktops has been much easier than managing physical desktops. But then again, I have a friend of mine who works for a local community college, and they deal with thousands of desktops. They hardly have any VDI, but they use SCCM. And I hear of him going out and they run updates on 500 desktops using SCCM. Lisa, can you talk to where you think VDI is maybe cheaper management-wise or, you know, personnel-wise when it comes to dealing with the management of virtual desktops versus maybe using SCCM against 1,000 desktops?
Yeah. Microsoft will tell you flat out, even their top-level SCCM people, you're lucky if you're going to get an 85% or 90% success rate when you push something with SCCM. There's not 100% success rate with when you push something with SCCM. It's never 100%. You'd have to have a it's very rare. Microsoft themselves will tell you that. So the machine could be offline, the user could have not rebooted, it could be in a state where the update doesn't push. There's multiple things that could happen. But with the VDI desktop, I know because I made the disk update that I updated X, Y, and Z, and I can publish that version of the image, and I know I have 100% success rate when I push out an image. SCCM is also takes time, right? It takes time to potentially push out patches. If you have multiple locations, you have to make sure that you're pushing that SCCM package from a server locally in that office. Otherwise, you're pushing data over your WAN, and you could be saturating your WAN. So there's a lot of complexity in SCCM when you have multiple sites that needs to be considered. And you better have a good packager that really knows scripting very well if you're going to use SCCM for a lot of what the requirements are for it. There's plenty of law firms that try and implement SCCM, and they just don't have the talent, where they have to go out and then find the talent. So I think it's valuable for managing any physical endpoint device, because remember, when you do have a VDI deployment, you might have a physical endpoint device in the office if you're not using a thin client. So you need to manage a physical device somewhere inside your firewall. So SCCM is perfect for that. And if you don't have a lot to manage, all the better. And if you're not creating packages that you have to push down with scripts that can be complex, even better yet. So that's my opinion on it. I agree with Jay to some degree when he talked about security and how you still have to lock down your desktop. Well, yeah, you always have to lock down your desktop. You always need security in your desktop. And you still need security on your physical device in the office as well. But one of the beautiful things about the mobility of VDI is now I have VDI at home. I can have my desktop in the office at home, right? I can't control the endpoint device the user is touching at home. I have no control over that endpoint device. So you could have you're on a MacBook Air and you want to log into the Windows 7 desktop. I can't control your MacBook Air. There's certain things you can do where you can restrict access if they don't have a virus software. So the NetScaler can say, oh, you don't have any virus software on your computer. I'm not going to let you connect. You can restrict access if they don't have updated versions of Java. That type of thing you could do potentially. But I can't manage the external devices. And maybe I don't want to. Maybe we want to start getting into a BYOD world where we say, bring your MacBook to the office and connect in and open a VDI desktop. So I'm digressing a little bit from SCCM, but I think that a lot of schools use it because they would love to do a VDI desktop and maybe they don't have a budget for it or they don't have an IT director who's very familiar with it. But in most of the Citrix conferences, when you talk about who's up there, who's up there presenting their latest projects, it's universities, it's the University of Sao Paulo, it's colleges, it's nonprofits, I'm a New Yorker, they're jonesing for VDI if they could get their hands on it, because it's simple for them to then just update everybody's desktop and they know it's going to wipe clean when the user logs off. They're jonesing for it. They're just looking for how do I get an approved grant potentially to build this.
Okay.
That's been my experience.
Jay, do you have anything to add to that?
I do have a slightly differing opinion on desktop management with VDI overall. I think the opinion is YMMV, your mileage may vary. There are places, law firms with great SCCM deployments, electronic software, or other similar electronic software delivery solutions that are doing great with physical endpoints and work very well. And I'll say that managing, most firms cannot go 100% VDI. They still need to manage physical endpoints, or as Lisa mentioned, they still have to manage, physical endpoints that are working as thin clients, and therefore they need some sort of, electronic software delivery mechanism. They still need the skills of SCCM and packaging and operating system deployment, et cetera. So you almost need to bring to the table existing traditional skills for your physical endpoints, as well as this new set of management technologies that you will need some expertise and assistance in deploying. Now, in terms of managing VDI, it's actually you need a very unique set of skills to do it correctly. You need expertise on the broker, the hypervisor, the underlying physical hardware that's running your virtual desktops. You need help with provisioning those desktops and keeping those correct. Help with system resources such as IOPS and designing that system. Usually you need some expertise on the portal system and making sure that is running okay, along with systems such as profile management, user environment management, perhaps application virtualization. You need assistance and help with troubleshooting, internet connections and Wi-Fi connections to make sure they're adequate to meet the level of user experience that the users are expecting. You still need to deploy a VDI client of some sort using Citrix. It's an ICA client. If it's VMware, it's a Vue client. So you need someone to manage all of these new technologies, or you need to partner with someone who can help you with a lot of these new things. And for, a small one-man, IT shop, that can be a lot to take on. And I agree, if you can do it correctly, it can work out very well. But if you don't account for all of these new areas that you need expertise in, you could be in real trouble. And this is, all of those things that I just mentioned, if something goes wrong with any of those areas, you could actually lose complete connections to all of your virtual desktops at once. And troubleshooting these areas, it can be, an art form. It can be difficult to do that. So it is certainly a risk that needs to be considered when you look at desktop and VDI management as a whole.
Okay. So it sounds a little scary to a certain degree. However, if it's done correctly, as Lisa said, if you've got the right consultants to help you, if you've got the right people around, this may still be a good viable option. Jim, I'd like, since we're getting a little short on time, I'm going to ask if you can kind of talk to where some of the cost savings, we've heard from VDI vendors regarding cost savings, and we've heard from end users that those savings are exaggerated. Can you kind of say, which is it and why, or is it going to fall back to what Jay just stated, your mileage may vary?
Well, there's definitely some components that's easy to quantify, and Jay hit on it a little earlier saying, VDI today is significantly different from what it was 5 years ago. And so if you look at the different categories of costs, the hardware, the software, the implementation, the support, if I go through each one, it's easier to distinguish. So let's just say, for example, a PC today probably costs similar to what it did 5 years ago. It's an $800 device. It has two CPUs and eight gig of RAM. That's been pretty constant over the last couple of years. So take that as a baseline at $800 a user for a PC, and then say, all right, well, if I wanted to replace that with a server, 5 years ago, that cost would be, let's say you took a $20,000 server, that server might only support 20 users. So right away, the cost savings is not there. $1,000 a user just on the server, not including the storage. 5 years ago, storage probably cost you with SSD drives $1,000 a user. Fast forward to today, you could buy a $20,000 server that supports 100 users. So now you're talking $200 a user versus the $800 PC. The storage has come down significantly. The SSD drives, the flash drives. If you wanted to give each user 50 IOPS of IO and 8 gigs of write cache, that's probably cost you $100 a user. So now the $800 PC versus the $200 per user server, the $100 per user storage, now you're talking some savings on the hardware. Now, obviously, there's some infrastructure in there, but there's going to be some infrastructure if you have to build the SCCM server or a ghost server. So on the hardware side, there's definitely some savings. Software side, a little bit harder to quantify, depending on if you have a Microsoft Enterprise Agreement or not. That could go either way. If you're a VMware View shop and you have VMware as your hypervisor, VMware will probably give you a discount or give it to you for free for View. Same thing with Citrix. If you buy Zen Desktop, you get the hypervisor for free. The software side, I wouldn't say there's a savings there. There's definitely a cost. There's definitely a higher cost for the VDI software versus saying buy SCCM or Ghost. So I wouldn't say there's an ROI there. Implementation, this is where I think where if you consider that you have to implement a desktop, an SCCM environment, and a remote access system and potentially a DR system, it's almost a wash. If you build one VDI system that is definitely more complex to build versus three different systems for your desktop management, for your remote access, and potentially DR, that's almost a wash. On the support side, we kind of hit that earlier. If you're managing whether it's 200 or 2,000 PCs, and you're managing it with SCCM and Ghost, that's going to take a lot more time and effort than if you're managing with a provisioned desktop. Now Jay's right. Yeah, you're not going to get 100% VDI, or you're not going to get one image that you roll out to 100% of the users, but certainly the support is going to be less. And probably the one category I didn't hit on is productivity, with the whole workforce mobility and the consumerization of laptops and tablets and smartphones. The firm's definitely going to see an improvement of productivity working on a VDI desktop than, say, a remote access desktop, which typically a remote access desktop is not something that was built for somebody to work on 8 hours a day. Usually it has a subset of applications. Usually it's a little slower, and people could deal with it if it's only an hour or two on the weekend. But if you've got a VDI desktop or published apps, you could be a lot more productive. So all told, you take in the hardware, software implementation, there's definitely a return on investment, a benefit to going with VDI.
I'm going to jump into the fact that Jay brought up with your mileage may vary, and I think a good point here is to say VDI isn't really for everyone. And it's not like you're going to set it up with somebody that does CAD or somebody that does a lot of graphic art. You might run into some slowness issues there or performance. So when we're looking down at it, we look at, is it good for a paralegal? Is it good for an attorney, a secretary, whatever? Because it depends on what they're doing. And if everybody thinks they're going to put VDI to everyone, I think they're going to be in for a surprise. Lisa, would you agree with that or not?
I think that times have changed. I think that was probably the case a few years back, but I think that you can deliver a core desktop to everybody and leverage new features like Zen Desktop 7.6 local app access, and you can leverage that to still create, you're accessing the documents, the email of the firm, and the core applications in a VDI desktop, and then you want Dragon Naturally Speaking, no problem. I install it on the physical device. I give you access to it through local app access. Now you're in your virtual desktop. You click on an icon. You don't even know you're launching something from the physical endpoint device. You're seamlessly in your VDI desktop, and I can open that portal into your physical endpoint device, and I can give you access to that through local app access. So the times have shifted. Things like I want to watch a DVD, and I used to be able to put a CD-ROM in my machine, and I'd watch it on Citrix, and it was horrible. That's changed with local app access, because you can give people access to their Windows Media Player on their physical endpoint device, and they can play that video that way, and it's the same experience because it's going right through that VDI session. So sometimes the use cases that were a problem in the past given what the advances that were made in VDI, they've changed. Things have really shifted. We have clients that the entire office is VDI, and there's nobody in that office that has any reason to not be in the VDI desktop. And the one-off that wants Dragon, he's accommodated for. And the one-off that needs some very high I/O application is accommodated for it, as long as it doesn't need DM integration and that type of thing. So I love to finesse the VDI desktop where I can accommodate all the users. I'm passionate about it. I feel like we shouldn't be afraid of VDI. Anything could happen. You could lose your core switch, your whole network would go down. We don't lose sleep over that. That's a factor. You could have a really bad VDI implementation and you could go down, yes. But hopefully you don't. Hopefully you QA it, you have good, you know, contractors working with you, good partners working with you. You put it through its paces before you deploy it, and then you can reap the benefits of it. So I feel really strongly about it. I love what I'm doing. I think VDI is the way to go, and I'll go head-to-head with anybody who wants to go against that statement.
Excellent. Jay, do you have any comments you want to close with on that?
I definitely think VDI is more accessible to the, you know, the targets that typically didn't like VDI. I think, you know, it's a much better product. You can get a full user experience. You can actually have true application customization, so people can have, you know, Outlook being in cache mode to give them instant search and can really install the applications that they need in their virtual desktop and have that persist wherever they go, so they don't have to worry about, you know, logging into a Citrix session and not having that application available to it. It will be there because it's their desktop. I think a lot of those improvements have made VDI certainly a great option for people that, you know, didn't like it, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. There is ways to go. There is the offline mode, the elephant in the room, if you will. VDI still doesn't work great when you are disconnected from the network. I mean, that technology where we thought we could check out our VDI and use it on in a local hypervisor and then synchronize those changes, I think there's still a lot to be done in this arena. There are specific, you know, BYOD, scenarios from Parallels and Mocafot, et cetera, that can offer, and Zen Client that can offer some of this capability, but I don't necessarily think that adding this complexity is the solution that will make VDI much better for those people that need offline use. I do think that there can be some improvements to areas such as printing, where there can be a delay if you're working in a remote office with a low bandwidth connection and you want to, you know, print a 100 meg PDF, you know, it'll take some time. I think there are issues with uploading DVDs and a lot of content into a central data center. It still needs to potentially go through that display protocol, and that's, you know, just a limitation of bandwidth that can be problematic for VDI. So I do think there are some areas where VDI still is a challenge, but I definitely think that it is more accessible to the greater population than it was before.
All right. So, Jim, do you have any closing comments?
Yeah, just real quick, and it's reiterating some of what we said earlier. You know, certainly with the way business is operated today, whether people are working from remote locations or on unusual endpoints, and the consolidation of data centers definitely lends itself to VDI. And to reiterate, one of the concerns is, you know, you need to have someone smart to manage it. You can't take the guy who used to roll out PCs and ghost PCs and make him your VDI administrator. You need the smart SCCM guy or a senior engineer to do it. So that's just to reiterate, one of the gotchas, make sure the guy who's managing it knows his stuff or her stuff.
Right. So in the end, I think what people can take away from this discussion is the fact that VDI has really improved over the past 5-6 years. And the fact that if you get the right implementers, the right people working with you, as Lisa was pointing out, you may have a great use case to go with VDI, and it may be a great cost savings to you. But as Jay was pointing out, there's a few items that you got to be cautious of. You know, are you trying to get it for everybody that is on a plane all the time? Do they need access when they're away, or they're not going to have an internet connection? There are other cases in place where VDI may not work. So we're going to have to look at all of it. I don't want somebody to walk away from this and say, hey, well, VDI is great or VDI is bad. It still comes down to proper planning, proper design, and you might actually find that cost savings there.